more than any man, and his form more than those of the Son of Man. When we read about the crucifixion, we read about the horrible pain that he went through physically. I often wonder, why such a horrible pain? Why is it so visible? Why is it so in our face, what he went through? Why is it so powerful? Our sin does the same thing to us spiritually and emotionally. Our sin creates that same devastation within us. Christ showed us, this is the result, David, of your sin. This is what it looks like on the outside. And I went, wow, Lord. Visage so marred, more than any man. When he was brought to Pilate, after he was scourged, and Pilate brought him out after he scourged him, brought him out on the veranda, and everyone's yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, behold, this is a man. Couldn't recognize him. Couldn't recognize him as a human being. But he took that. He accepted that. He accepted that in his body. Verse 15, so he shall sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. That word sprinkle is kind of interesting because you know what? In Leviticus, only the high priest could sprinkle the forgiveness, sprinkle the blood for the forgiveness. Only the high priest. He is and was the high priest. He is the high priest, according to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 53, and keep in mind, too, that the chapters and verses were not divided until around 1267. And in this case here, they made, I think, a big mistake because chapter 53 actually began in chapter 52, verse 13, when he said, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. 53, verse 1, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? Well, no one. He was alone. In John 12:38, they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him as being the Messiah. John 12:38, you don't need to turn over there. I'll read this real quick. John speaking and says, thus, it's that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord, by the way, is the power of God. That's the power, is the arm of the Lord. He's revealed to you. He's actually revealed to all mankind. And you're going to see the result in the next few verses of man's response. Verse 2 says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. In other words, as a child. He grew up as a child, just like you and I. And as a root out of a dry ground. In other words, normal, dry ground, just normal day-to-day life. And this really struck me. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. The Lord Jesus Christ was not, every human being would walk by him because he had no form, no beauty, no that we should desire him. Our eyes sometimes get us in trouble. We see Hollywood, we see all of the beauty, we see all of the what we think is beauty and what have you. But the reality is, the beauty is inside, it's in him, it's in you. This is a covering. The real person is inside. We've talked about that before. The real person is inside. That's the beauty. That's the person that God has. That's who he is. I found it very interesting in that portion of the verse. It says he has no form nor comeliness. In other words, he wasn't beautiful. And it says, and, maybe your Bible say differently, and when we shall see him. Mark those words. And when we shall see him. Guess what? You will see Christ. I will see him. There's going to come a day when he's going to be standing before us. We are going to be standing before him. And he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on home." He's going to say, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and when I have come, and when I've prepared that place, I will come to you and receive you unto myself." You will see him. And you'll see him in all his glory. Verse 3, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." That word despised means hated. Folks, look around. Look around. When you start talking about Jesus, you'll see that the darkness cannot comprehend the light that's in you. When you start sharing him, you can't. The world hates that. And it's going to, the enemy is going to, it's going to be more intense as we go into further darkness and into what's going on around us. "He was despised and rejected." Have you ever been rejected? It's painful. But you see, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came there, and they knew from Isaiah. They knew the prophecies. They knew what was going on. In fact, in the Hebrew Bible, chapter 53, you know, they didn't allow them to read chapter 53. Grief. You know what that word grief is? Deep mental anguish, as in the loss of a loved one. That's the grief that he had, the sorrow that he had in his heart. Why did he have sorrow? He knew what he had to do. He knew the consequences of not following through. Jesus knew precisely what needed to be done to save you and me. Guess what we did? We hid. Notice that says right there? We hid. Who else hid? Remember in the Garden of Eden? When they, after they sinned, after they fell away, after they had sinned, they hid. We hide from the Lord. We hide from him. I do. Maybe you don't. "Oh, Lord, I got this. I don't need you right now, Lord. Got it together, man. Everything's going good." No. Mm-mm. We hid. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. When you're a kid and you do something wrong, or actually, maybe this is a bad analogy, but when my puppies do something wrong, it's like, "Who, me?" Okay, we hid our face from him. "Me, Lord? Me? I'm undone?" Yeah. "He was despised and we esteemed him not." Verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Folks, this is a detailed description of what Christ went through for you and for me. And it was 700 years before he was even born. Christ created everything, the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them, and he stepped out of eternity, became a man. And God, everything that's in this Bible, God has said, "I have never spoken in secret. I've told you ahead of time exactly what's going to happen, and now I'm bringing it to pass." And he brought it to pass 2,000 years ago. Verse 5. "But he," Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. You ready for this? This is a tough one, because the title of this message is "Return to Your First Love." "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Isaiah knew exactly what was going to happen 700 plus years in advance, because the Holy Spirit told him, God revealed it to him, and he saw that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He doesn't say, because you're so great and wonderful, or I'm great and wonderful, that's why. No, because I messed up. I'm a fallen human being. I need Jesus. I need Christ in my life. I need him. I need his provision. I need his love. I need his understanding. And that creates in me a desire to seek him with all my heart, with all my soul, with everything, a desire to seek him and return to my first love, which is him. It's not you. It's not me. It's not knowing all of these great and wonderful things, okay? It's Christ and him crucified. And right here it says, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. Keep in mind, he had no form of comeliness. In other words, he wasn't no big strapping guy like you see on TV or some of these videos. He wasn't buffed out. You know, Fabio, her, I'm Jesus. Nope. I believe he was a little, small, innocent man that had no one anywhere except his Father in heaven. And he came to do the will of his Father. That's who was being crucified. He had no form nor comeliness that anyone should desire him. We looked on him like, that's Jesus? That's the creator of the universe, really? That's what the enemy says. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Man, thank you, Lord, for that. Verse 6, and this is all, A-L-L, you know what that word all means, right? That means nothing's not included. All we, every one of us, like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. Do you know what that means? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when man turns to his own way, guess what that becomes? Works. It becomes religion. It's not. It's not us. We return to our first love, him. Because we've turned to our own ways, okay? And the Lord had laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. By the way, laid on him, that means God dealt the death-dealing blow for the sin of the world. He did on Christ. I challenge you today, return to your first love. It's him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Yeshua HaMashiach, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Think about that for a second. When I'm oppressed and I'm afflicted, guess what I want to do? I want to strike out. I want to lash out. I want to get even, you know, retribution, all that good stuff. Not the Lord. Why did he not do that? When he had the power to call down legions of angels, why did he not do that? He didn't do that because of you. Because of me. He knew what he had to do. Isaiah told us what he had to do. And he followed through. And every detail is written in chapter 53. That was 700 years before he was born. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened up not his mouth. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold, pay attention, look, it's him. It's the creator of the universe, the one that holds all the physics of this universe together. It's him, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the King. But he remained silent, and he opened not his mouth. Verse 8, he was taken from prison in judgment. Yeah, we know that from the crucifixion, right? He was taken out of prison after they scourged him into judgment hall. Who's going to declare his generation? He truly said he's the Son of God. He's this. He's not. No one declared him. And he stood silently. Man. He stood silently. He was alone. For you. He knew what he had to do. The next portion of that says, for he was cut off of the land of living. In other words, he was crucified. He was cut off. He was crucified. Why? It says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Our sin upon him didn't look good. Verse 9, we're all familiar with. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. We know that when they took his body off the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, which was a devout man, knew who he was. And he had a rich people, the pauper, poor people were buried in the potter's field. They were buried in the potter's field. But not the King of the universe, not the Messiah. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb carved out of stone for him. And he says, I want to put him in there. I want to bury him in my tomb. And he took the body of Jesus, put him in the tomb, and rolled a stone. Put Roman guards there to make sure that his body wouldn't be stolen. But the God of the universe had it all planned. The creator who bought you, who paid for us, who lives in us, had a plan. And that plan was eternally secure in him, for all of us, those that are in him. Truth is, all of this, it's time to return to our first love. It's not about how great and wonderful, how you do, what you do, what you don't do. It's not about you, nor me. Never has been. What is about you and me is the fact that Christ died, gave his life for me and you. Verse 10, shift gears here a little bit. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you shall make his soul an offering for sin. Notice it said his soul was the offering for sin. Wasn't his body the soul? We're going to get into that here in a second. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven right now, making intercession for you and I, standing in your place, standing in my place. He's there, standing. I got him covered. I got you covered. Verse 11 said, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. In other words, again, God saw it, and he satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Praise God for that. Prophesied 700 years before that. Therefore, ready? Will I divide him a portion with the great, in other words, a name above all names. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. All things are laid at his feet, at the feet of Jesus. All things belong to him. Why? Because he has poured out his soul unto death. And we know that he was numbered with the transgressors on the cross. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, you and I. That's Isaiah 53. That's what God speaks to our hearts. It was all prophesied. One of the most interesting scriptures, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Second Corinthians 5:21. And I got to tell you, folks, I get a little bit emotional, because when you see the intense love that the Lord has for you and what he's done to purchase us, it's overwhelming. Jesus says, to whom much is, where there's much sin, much is forgiven. Boy, am I glad I'm forgiven. Verse 21, for he, Adonai, God, has made him, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, listen to this carefully, to be sin. We sang that this morning. He not only died for our sins, on that cross, he was sin, period. He made him sin, to be sin, who knew no sin, that we be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. Yet he became the sin that we have. He became that sin. And when he died, it was gone. It was gone. You're forgiven. On the cross, he said, it is finished. It's over. You're in. You're my child. In the wilderness, when it talks about, flip over to John. I'm going to send you back to John. Sorry. Go to John, please. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. In the wilderness, when Moses was taking the people through the wilderness, they began sinning. And when they began sinning, the serpents came out of nowhere and biting them, stinging them. Some of them died. That's what sin does to us. It does to me, anyway. When I mess up, that's horrible. Okay? They kept biting and biting, biting. Moses went to the Lord and said, what do we do? God said, I want you to take a brass serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on the pole. Think about that, a serpent. A serpent. Symbol of sin. Put it on the pole. And all they had to do was to look at that serpent, and they would be healed. What did they do? They looked. They perceived. They knew. They understood. All we have to do is to look at Christ. And we are healed. We are his poema, his workmanship, his life. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Verse 15, Here you go. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Why was he lifted up? That whosoever, you, I, anyone listening, anyone, should not perish but have eternal life. Return to your first love. Return to him. It's about him. It's not about, and even Bill says, sow to the Spirit and you won't fulfill the things of the flesh. It's about, remember the teeter-totter thing he always uses. Sow to the Spirit. Verse 16, there's not, I don't think anyone within my voice that can understand this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, Isaiah 53 is your gift, is my gift from the Creator of the universe that seals us for all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. In a moment, I'm going to ask my brother Jason to come up and serve communion. But I want you to understand, this table is your opportunity to return to your first love. The one who bought you with a great price. For one reason and one reason only, because of his, not yours, not how great and wonderful you are, not how you, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, get over yourself. It's not you, it's Christ. It's Jesus Christ in him. Because of his unfathomable, intense, and eternal great love for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, creator and sustainer of all creation. Whether you've walked with the Lord for many years or have just given your heart and trust in him for forgiveness and cleansing right now, we're going to bow our hearts. But I want you in your heart and your mind, bow before his throne and give him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the praise, worship, glory and adoration because of his exceeding love for you. You personally. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God speaks and he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will stand forever. You are secured in him. What God has spoken will surely come to pass, which is our assurance of eternal security in Christ Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our salvation. Folks, God's word is about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here because of him. You were fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. We are made for a relationship with him. You say, I don't know if that's true or not. The most important things in people on their deathbed, you know what their focus is? Man, I wish I'd have bought that Corvette. Oh, wow. Wish I'd have bought that boat. Man, I wish I'd have gotten my pilot's license. Nope, not at all. Man, I wish I could spend more, just a few more minutes with my mom. A few more minutes with my dad, my wife. A few more minutes with my son, my daughter, my friends. Relationship. That's why you're created. And that's the relationship that the Lord wants for you and I. And it's because of him. So as we come forward to take communion, I'm going to repeat, now is the time to return to your first love. Bill mentioned that on Wednesday nights, and if you're not coming to Wednesday nights, I encourage you to do that. Because I'll tell you what, that was an eye-opening experience with the Church of Ephesus. The word Ephesus, like Bill said, means the desired one. And the Lord told him, yeah, you guys are all great and wonderful. You got a big church, you got everything going. Yeehaw, boy, y'all doing good. But you lack one thing. Return to your first love. And that's the message for today. Give him all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, and focus all your desires. God says, search for me with all your heart, soul, and intents. In other words, you'll find me. If you've never asked Christ into your life, we're going to bow our hearts before we take communion, before I call Jason. We're going to bow our hearts before the Lord, and I want you to do that right now. It doesn't have to be any, loquacious, eloquent speech. Nope. There was no eloquent speech here. He had no form of comeliness. It wasn't brazen. It wasn't flashing lights and stuff. No. Quiet, still, small voice. Lord Jesus, I accept your sacrifice. I accept what you've done for me on the cross. Lord, I can never repay it. He said, it's okay. It's okay. I did. Ask him to come into your heart. If you have been walking with the Lord for years, I encourage you to pray that same prayer. I do. So, let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, I'm overwhelmed, Lord, at your word. Lord, you said your word will not return unto you void. Lord, we've cast all of our cares upon you. Lord, I just pray that as we take communion today, Lord, that we return to that love that we had in you, for you. Strengthen our walk with you, Lord, in these last days. Give us power, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to overcome all the darkness, Lord. Let your light shine through each and every one of us. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and the mighty name, the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Because it's in his name we pray, Father. Amen.